Okay, Rotei. You know, this Pascha, this week, is Pascha Shkolim. It's the Pascha where the mitzvah to give a machzis a shekel. Every Jew, once a year, has to give half a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. And the purpose is to have money to buy korbanos sibur, sacrifices for the community, the korban tamid every day. Is brought from these coins called the Musaf, the Shabbos, Yom Tov. Also, we use these coins for counting the Jews. So, Shemesh Shmuel wants to understand the connection between these two aspects of the mitzvah. One mitzvah is to get money for korbanos, so every Jew should have a share in the korbanos of the tzibur community. And there's also another aspect, we count the Jews by counting the coins that they give. It's not just a question of convenience, since the Torah wants every Jew 20 years and above to give the coin for the korban. So, also women give. So therefore, it's a very quick, easy way. At the same time, I can count the coins, I'll know how many Jews there are, adult Jews. If you're a Shemesh Shmuel, you're not happy with just a few. It's a convenient combination. There has to be a deeper connection between the two. The same like the Rav, also never liked just the facile, it's a coincidence that this were, nothing in halach is a coincidence. There's a plan, there's an idea behind it. Not just a coincidence. Here you have a mitzvah, so by the way, I figure out how many Jews there are. There's a deeper connection. So we have to understand what that is. He is, as usual, Shemesh Shmuel, sometimes he takes us on a big detour. So we're going to go on a big detour here before we come back to the questions. I don't know, those of you who have to leave a little early, I have a problem, but the detour is worth it along the way. So he says, we know, we have a famous sheet of Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah. There's a discussion in the Gemara, a question, when did God actually create the world? Did Hashem Yisbarach create the world in the month of Tishrei? It means, when was man created? Was he created the sixth day? But when was he created? Was it Rosh Chodesh Tishrei? Or was it Rosh Chodesh Nisan? It's a machlokas in the Gemara. Tosfos says, in his opinion, the final psak is a very interesting psak. The Machshava, when God was thinking about creating the world, it was Tishrei, but he actually created the world, it was Nisan, 6 months later. The Machshava, the Bria of the Olam, was in Chodesh Tishrei, and in the Maisa, really, it was Chodesh Nisan. So we have to understand, why did God do this in two steps? He had a Machshava to create the world, but didn't do it for 6 months. He waited 6 months till Chodesh Nisan. So he says the reason is like this. Because there's like another Gemara. The Gemara says that originally God wanted to create the world in Midas Hadin with just justice. You do a good thing, you get a reward. A bad thing, you get punished. No ifs or buts. God saw that this plan would not work. People couldn't survive under this rule of strict justice. So he then connected the justice with mercy. Because you look in the Chumash, at the beginning, the first description of Yisolim, it just says Elokim. Bereishis bar Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Or, always Elokim. Elokim is the Lush, is the name of Hashem, which is Midas Hadin, the justice, strict justice. Then the next perek goes again. It says, "Eila tolda shemayim v'oz b'yom Baruch Hashem Elokim, as the Adam, and it goes on, Hashem Elokim, puts together Yudke Ravke with Elokim in the second version of the Bris Olam, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to make Elokim, wanted to have pure din, that's why the world doesn't exist, couldn't survive, so he combined Chesed with din, mercy with justice. So the male is very good. Since the original plan was to create the world just with justice, so with Machshava he wanted to have just din, that's Chodesh Tishrei. Because Chodesh Tishrei is the Chodesh of din. Justice, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin. And the letters of Tishrei, Tav, Shin, Resh, is the Aleph Beis backwards. If you move the Aleph Beis backwards, Tav, Shin, Resh, it's din. That's the secret of the letters. And the next, Chodesh Nisan, in Hebrew is also called Chodesh HaAviv. Aviv nowadays means spring. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Beis. That goes forward from the top of the alphabet. Aleph, Beis. So that's Chesed. So if you do letters in the correct order, it's Chesed. If you do letters in backwards, it's Din. It's a famous Kabbalistic idea. So Chodesh Tishrei is the Chodesh of Din. That was the original Machshava, but it never happened. God never did that. He actually created the world, the Maisa and Nisan, and the Nisan was a combination of Chesed with Din. Shem Elokim. Okay. Now, thing is like this. There's a concept in Chassidus called Isarusa de Liela and Isarusa de Lasata, which means like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bara Olam, he does things for the world. He creates the world, he makes it rain, gives us food, etc. Sometimes it's because Hashem does it on his own. He's not paying attention to how people are behaving and what people want. It's his gift to the world. So that's called the Sarusa de Liela. The movement is Saruta, it's Orus, it's arousal. So it's Leela, it starts from on top. It means God on his own is giving things to us. And then sometimes we have the Sarusa de Lasata. The arousal begins Lasata, Lamitav, Tavala. It begins from below. It means people do things, and these things which people do cause Hashem to respond. Say, good tefillah, good prayers, or we give tzedakah, or we do other mitzvahs, learn Torah. So we do various activities. So Kadosh Baruch Hu responds and gives us a blessing because of our activities. So, it says, the creation of the world was not that God was responding to anything. There was no Isaruta de Lasata. There was nothing on the bottom. In fact, the angels were not created till the second day. The first day was Echad, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was nothing else. No one should think, oh, the angels were from the very beginning, so maybe that's why he did it, because there were angels and they needed more things. No, no. The angels were never created till the second day. The first day when God created the whole process, there was nothing except God. Shem Echad, just one. Yom Echad. So, that's to show that the Bias HaOlam is a Serusa de Li'ela. Hashem on his own decided to create the world. He wasn't responding to any stimulus. Later on, Rashi, for example, says on the sixth day, The truth of the matter is that there was no real rain all the days. It didn't rain. When Hashem created Adam, and Adam looked around, he said, listen, you need water. There's not enough water. So he started to daven for rain. So Hashem made it rain. That was Takis Ruta de Lasata. It started from Adam. Adam sort of was a stimulus for his davening to make Hashem give us rain. But the very beginning of creation, the whole idea of creation, something Hashem has worked it on his own. So it says a word. that why does Hashem taka do it? If there was no stimulation, why did he taka do it, at least from our point of view? There's a famous story that someone once brought a very, very good Kabbalistic book, Reb Chaim Brisker. He wanted Reb Chaim Brisker to write the Haskama. Just on the first page. You got something.
Yeah, which house, man?
He saw on the first page that in this Kabbalistic book, the person writes, why did God create the world? Because God wanted to do nice things. God has chesed. He wanted to express his chesed. Chaim Brisker said, I can't give you any skamah. Because, according to the Rambam, in the Moreh Nevuchim, in other places, that God created the world on his own. You can't even say he had an emotional need to be nice, so he created something to be nice to. I like doing good things, so I'm not going to live in a desert island, nobody else. I'm going to live near people so I can help people. I like to help people. So Chaim Brisker said, maybe the capitalists say Hashem had chesed, so he had to have a place to express the chesed, so he created the world. He could give food to people and air and rain and things like that. He wanted to do chesed. He says no. Chaim Brisker says no. We don't. God created the world. You can't say why. But so no. He wanted to do it. Why we don't know. Anyway, Shemesh Shmuel, of course, is a capitalist, the Chassidish. So he's not no problems. Giving a human way of explaining why Hashem decided on his own to create the world. Not because someone asked him, angels or some other entities. On his own, he did it. Why did he do it? Doesn't give Reb Chaim Brisker the Rambam's answer. He did it because Ritzono. This was his Ritzono. He says the reason is because Hashem saw in the future of the world, there would be some tzaddikim, some wonderful people, and he'd be very happy with them. Yismach Hashem b'masav. But his Baruch will be happy with his creation. These people will give nachas ruach. So it's a big Kabbalistic Hasidic idea that we do things to give nachas ruach, the yotzro. We say it in the Gemara, says it. Mentioned maybe even Pirkei Avos, and we say also in davening, Nachas Ruach LeYotzro, to make Hashem satisfied, happy, fulfillment, pleasure. Yismach Hashem b'masav, Hashem is happy with His creatures. So, because Hashem saw that He's going to have Simcha in the future, so if they get that Simcha, that nachas ruach, that's why I created the world. It's also against Reb Chaim Brisker. He wouldn't say that. But according to Chassidish Svarim, and say Hashem made the world in order that he get later on nachas ruach. So we see, for example, that he said this is a very important idea. Not just, of course, the creation of the world is made most important thing, but we see that in general it's a very important idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is Baruch Hu Olam, God will do good things today for people because He sees it in the future. They do things for which they deserve it. So, for example, when Moshe asked Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Why are you sending me to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim?" They're in the 49th level of Tumah. So Hashem says, today they don't deserve it. I'm doing it because Tavdu Nes Elokim Al HaHar Hazeh. in the future, when I get them out, they'll come to Har Sinai, they'll get the Torah. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Jews out of Mitzrayim in Nisan, because in Sivan, they'll do good things. They'll say Nasa v'Nishma. When Nisan, they didn't deserve it. They were worshipping idols just like the Egyptians. But they're going to go through such a metamorphosis till Sivan that for that reason, Hashem says, I'll take them out in Nisan. Okay. So, the same thing, for example, he says, Yitzchak wanted to give the blessings to Esau. Why should I give the blessings to Esau? Esau was a Rasha. Yitzchak said, I think that if we give Esau blessings today, he'll become a tzaddik tomorrow. Once he gets the blessings, he's not going to become a tzaddik. Sometimes you give a person a chance, he rises to the occasion. He'll change. She says, Ein Nachanami, without the blessings, he's not a good guy. Give him the blessings, I'll give him a lot of blessings, he'll become good. Again, you do something nice to someone today because you expect something in the future. You know, today he wouldn't do it, but he'll do it tomorrow. So, that was it. So that's the idea of the chesed, that Chodesh Nisan, Kadosh Baruch Hu does the chesed because of what will be in the future. It's like he says, like getting something on credit. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a credit, you know, gives you a credit line. You can get good things today because later on you'll pay back. Every Chodesh Nisan, you get like a new credit line. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you more credit. Like he began the world by giving the world credit that it will be good later. Put the Jews out of Mitzrayim with the idea that they'll be going to do good things later on. So every single year in Chodesh Nisan, we get a new measure of blessings and good things, because Hashem knows that we'll use it during the year for good things. We'll pay back. It's worth it for Him to invest in us. It's worth it for Kodesh Baruch Hu to invest in the Jews. It's a good investment. By investing in us, he gets a payback later on. That's the idea of the chesed. Why do we get the chesed today? Because tomorrow we'll do good things. I want you to know, it's a very big yesod in chinuch. And I want to make this point over and over again. Every single Jew, especially every single Jew, is expected to be an excellent mechanech, an excellent teacher of Torah, because the Torah tells every Jew, "V'shinantam levanecha," you should learn Torah with your child. "V'matam osam es benecha," you should teach Torah to your child. Without exception, every single Jew has a mitzvah d'oraisa to teach Torah to his child, which means chinuch. Chinuch, the Gemara says, is a mitzvah la'av. It's a chiyuv for the father to raise the children, not just Talmud Torah, but the mitzvahs, do this mitzvah, do that mitzvah. Now you should know very big yisoid in chinuch, because you're going to be machanchim. You're going to be a lawyer, a doctor, a programmer. You're going to be a machanuch. It's even more important than the job. It's the biggest job you have. Teach your own children how to be good people, how to be a good Jew. So you should know major yesod in chinuch. The major side in chinuch is that we go v'alachta b'drachav. We follow the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. How he's machanach Am Yisrael, that's how we're machanach our children. And the biggest side is you invest today in order to get a payback in the future. You put into your child today because you expect that in the future there's going to be a payback. You're giving the child credit today in order to get the payback when he pays you back later. If your attitude is, I'm only going to be as good to my child today as he deserves today, you're going to be a terrible parent. Because most times, the child today doesn't deserve the chesed, which you should give him. You're going to go with midas hadin. I only give him what he deserves today. Then you're going to have a very miserable relationship with your child. You're going to say, he doesn't deserve this, he doesn't deserve that, I'm not going to give it to him. You're never going to deserve it. But if you're going to give him things and invest in him today, then 5 years from now, you get a payback. It's like putting seeds into the ground. They don't grow right away. It takes months and months. You don't see anything. Then all of a sudden, it starts to sprout out of the ground. Same thing with a child or a Talmud. You put a lot of work into the Talmud, you see nothing. Why don't you see anything? Then all of a sudden, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, all of a sudden, it begins to sprout. All of a sudden. That's the yisoid of a good mechanech. A good mechanech has patience. Patience to wait for his seeds to take root and to sprout later. The Mishnah says, Ein hakabdan malamed. Someone who has no patience cannot be a teacher. He is impatient. He has no time to wait. He wants to pay off right away. He's not ready to invest in his student, in his child. He's not ready to put in work today for it to blossom later. Such a parent is not going to work. I'll give you an example. A child starts learning Aleph Beis. And you have to sit with him. He has to come home and practice with somebody. Just what's going on in the school is not going to be good enough. He has to practice. So the parent sits down and says, okay, what's his little boy's name? Davidul, take out the Aleph Beis book. I want to read with you the Aleph Beis. And he has the page of the Aleph with all of the signs. Ah, O, E, E, U, U, A, E, E. Mixed up. He starts reading. He starts making mistakes. Instead of saying ah, he says ooh. Instead of saying eh, he says e. The parent will give a patch. No, it's not eh, it's e. You think this boy is going to learn? He's going to start crying, run away. The parent wants immediate satisfaction. He should say eh, e, ooh, no mistakes. If he makes one mistake, patch. That child's never going to learn. That child's going to grow up with a learning disability. He's going to resent learning. The parent should have a lot of patience. Make a mistake, say, okay, continue reading. Maybe suggest, ooh, before he says it the next time, you work with the child. 1 week, 2 weeks, 4 weeks later, he starts getting it the right way. Smooth, all the more he feels good about himself. Never rebuke a child. Never say no, no. You don't even say the word, you never say the word no. Good parent, going with a child, doesn't say the word no. You should say it this way. You say it in a positive way. You don't say something negative. Because you don't want the child to get the idea that something's wrong with him. That there's something negative. He says only positive. When he gets it right, he says, oh, yeah, it's right. Very good. Then you make suggestions. This is an ooh. This is an app. Don't say no to all. Chas starts developing a complex. A good in a kabton malami. Someone who's very strict and he doesn't work with the child, not be a malamed. He's not following that Kodesh Baruch Hu. If Kodesh Baruch Hu would be like that with us, we wouldn't survive Bechlal. Midas Adin, we'd be zapped right away. We don't deserve 98% of the stuff he gives us. Kodesh Baruch Hu is with Chesed, Hashem Elokim, not just Elokim. Yom Bora Hashem Elokim, Chesed together with Din. Chesed together with Din, Hashem says, I have patience. I'm a Sabla. I can, like we say, the good Malcolm Shikud Nusa Shalakodish Bohu, Shamata Motsan Visi Nusa. A Kodesh Baruch Hu waits. He invests. He gives us credit. He gives us a credit line. Gives us this, gives us blessings. Why? Because he knows that in the future there'll be a payback. Yismach Hashem b'maso. There'll be a day of simcha. Since there'll be a day of simcha in the future, he invests in us today. That's a good businessman. You invest today because you know, you think, you hope, 5 years from now, I'll make a profit. Well, have patience. I can wait 5 years. You can't wait. You're going to sell out the investment before you make a profit, and the whole investment is a waste of time. To have patience. That's a good mechanach. A good mechanach has patience. Which is the idea of be a solo. So therefore, this is Chodesh Nissan. Every year Chodesh Nissan, which is the Chodesh of Chesed, the Chodesh of Kodesh Baruch Hu, did the Yetzias Mitzrayim, because God is investing in the Jews. I give them something today they don't deserve. They're the Memta Shari Tuma, because in a few months from now they're going to pay me back when they say Nasa V'Nishma. When they say Nasa V'Nishma, that was the payback to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was a good investment. The Jews deserved it because they said it Nasa. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ratzach Esa'om, how is that? You take the people out of Mitzrayim, there'll be a service at Hasim. Now, we have a very big kasha. And this theory of Shem Shmuel, he has a very big kasha. If Hashem is Baruch, he does chesed, it's an investment in the future. It's an investment in the future. So how come 80% of the Jews never left Mitzrayim and they died in the 3 days of Choshech? Why didn't God? We can't say because they didn't deserve to go out. No one deserved to go out. God was making an investment, Kodesh Baruch Hu was making an investment in Am Yisrael for the future. By being nice today, something will come out later. I plant today, and I get a tree 3 months from now, or some bushes. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu invest in the 80% also? Why only 20% left Egypt? The other 80% never left, the Gemara says. Rashi calls it Mechumash. Chamushim. Echad Mechumash. Yatsu B'nei Islam and Mitzrayim. 1 out of 5. 4/5 never left. Why didn't the 4/5 leave? Because they didn't deserve it. No one deserved it. It was all an investment for the future. So he says a gevaldik to God. He says, about the Kodesh Baruch who's giving people something they don't deserve most of the time. But in his investment, he's investing in us, because in the long run, we're going to pay him back. But because when he invests in us today, inside, deep inside, we want to do what we want to become that in the future. That image HaKadosh Baruch Hu has about the future, which is why he's investing today, even though today we're very far away from that. But if someone would ask us, is that an ideal, that future? I would say yes. Today, I might be over the Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, but I would like to be the way it will be. I would like to be a tzaddik. The person says, I'm not a tzaddik. But do you want to be a tzaddik? Yes, I would like to be a tzaddik. So if a person wants to be a tzaddik, even though they're not a tzaddik, Kadosh Baruch Hu will help them become a tzaddik. He'll invest today, because in the future they'll become a tzaddik. Because that's what he wants to do. But if a person today says, I'm not interested in being a tzaddik, I hate the tzaddikim, I like being a rasha, I am a rasha, and I will never change. He doesn't even want to change. He doesn't think it's important to change. He doesn't have an ideal in his brain. Everything is just the corruption and wickedness. Kadosh says, I'm not going to invest in this person. He doesn't deserve to get a credit line. He doesn't have a credit rating. He'll never pay me back. That person, Taka, dies, and the 80% that died in Mitzrayim. Because that 80%, they had no idea, they didn't want to leave Egypt. They lived in Egypt for the rest of the eternity. They had completely abandoned being Jewish. They just wanted to be Egyptians. They were like completely assimilated people. They're only Jews in name only, but no identity whatsoever of Jewish. So these people never make it. Hashem not invest in them. This, by the way, of this idea of Shem Shmuel, it's Lane explains the phenomenon that we see today, which is an amazing phenomenon. While certain Jews are flowering so much Torah, so many mitzvahs, and beautiful Jewish families, wonderful children, Eiskim B'Torah B'Mitzvahs, other Jews are completely dropping out. No trace of anything being left. They, their children, their children's children, are literally goyim. Gone! How do you explain such a phenomenon? Came from the same grandparents. These are all grandchildren from the same grandparents. Those grandparents were Jewish. Now the grandchildren, one or two are religious, very frum, the others are goyim. How do you explain this? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu save these people who dropped out? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu do something? He could have invested in them. The answer is, unfortunately, they don't want investment. They don't want to be Jewish at all. They have no connection whatsoever. A person has no connection whatsoever, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to invest in him. It's a bad, he doesn't have a good credit maybe. He's never going to pay you back. He's a loser, so to speak. Pashut is not worth the investment. There's no payback. There's no expectancy of ever paying back a debt. So why would you lend something to a person who's never paid a debt back? Would you rent your house to a tenant who never paid rent to previous landlords? Why should you let him go into the house? He's never going to pay you the rent. Someone has a good record, so you let him go into your house and he'll pay you the rent at the end of 30 days. You know, you can give him 30 days because he's going to pay. Same thing with people. Kadosh Baruch Hu invests in people if it's a good investment. What makes a good investment? The fact that the person wants to be good. He may not be good today, but it's by him it's an ideal. Not a tzaddik today, but it's an ideal. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I give him a bracha today, as if he was already the tzaddik, which he wants to be. That's why you see that some Jews are getting incredible brachas, and they're becoming, and eventually they do become tzaddikim, and other Jews just falling by the wayside completely out, like the people in the 80% in Mitzrayim, because one group understands the ideal. It's something that they admire. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll invest in them. The other group has no connection with this ideal. They're not, by them, it's nothing. So Kadosh Baruch Hu does not invest in them. Let them drop out. Let them drop out. It's a paradigma maisa, but that's a mitzias. We see it with our own eyes. That, by the way, is a big issue in Israel today. Because it's a mixed population. One population wants to be tzaddikim. For them, they deserve all the brachas, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, even though they may not be a tzaddik, but they would like to be a tzaddik, I'll invest in them today. But the other group wants to drop out completely. By them, they don't want to be a tzaddik. They want to be a goyim. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, why should I invest in them? Nothing to invest in. It's a bad investment. That's what you have in Israel, a paradoxical phenomenon. People are building the land, the tzaddikim, or the would-be tzaddikim, and the others are abandoning the land, giving it away to the goyim, the ones who don't want to be tzaddikim. It's a very interesting connection. The ones who say we want to keep the Torah, or we'd like to keep the Torah, they're the ones who are building the land of Israel. The ones who say, I have no connection to Torah, I'm not interested to Torah, I want to rather be a goy, they're giving away the land of Israel. It's not just a coincidence. It's the same, it's the exact same cause. Because you don't want to keep the Torah at all, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't invest in you. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, give away the land. Why should I help you keep the land? It's my land, I'm only ready to give it as a special gift for Jews who I think are my good investment for me. You're not a good investment. What are you going to do in this land? Make it a country for Goyim? That's what you want? That's your ideal? So don't have the land b'chlal. Let the Arabs take it right away. Well, I have to make a whole big miracle to give you the land, and then you turn around and turn it into a country for Goyim, because you yourselves want to become Goyim. You have no image even of being Jewish. So why should you have the land b'chlal? Masha'en came to others. They want the land very much. They want to have a Jewish country. Their ideal is mamish Torah and mitzvahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for them, we'll make miracles. For them, we'll give them the land, even though all the hundreds of millions of Arabs and other Jewish enemies are ready to fight. These Jews, they deserve to get the land. I'll make an investment in them. When you have both groups of Jews in the same little country of Israel, that's where you see a paradox. On the one hand, it's unbelievable. Every time you make another trip to the country, you see an amazing amount of blessings. More houses, more roads, more children, everything, more cars. Everything is better and better. And at the same time, give away land, give this away, give that away, more terrorism. It's a paradox. What's going on over here? Is God giving us blessings, or Chas v'Shalom giving us curses? If I look at it this way, I see a lot of blessings. I look at it the other way, I see a lot of curses. I don't know what's going on. The answer is, there are two different groups of Jews in the country. One group of Jews wants to have a Jewish country and dreams about it and has the vision of a beautiful, beautiful future of mitzvahs and Torah and becoming tzaddikim. So for this group of Jews, the country is getting better and better and better. I mean, that they is their merit. God's investing. Everybody enjoys the investment, not just them. Everybody who lives there. The other group of people, we don't want a Jewish country at all. We want to be like the Goyim. Who needs a Jewish country? So God says, why should I make a miracle and give you something? Why should I invest in this? So they're losing the land, and they're the ones who attack us and give it away to the Arabs. So both groups of Jews are producing the opposite things at the same time. That's when you go to Israel, or you think about Israel, you say, well, it's a paradox. I don't know. If things good, things bad. Depends how you look at it. One side's great. One side's horrible. But it's a problem because of people. And people are like that. Yeah. And you can say the same thing about American Jews. You see, the very religious Jews. So there are a lot of blessings. Baruch Hashem, a lot of yeshivas, a lot of Torah, a lot of chesed, big Jewish families. It's wonderful. Tzad sheni, you see the other Jews, the not-religious Jews, tiny Jewish families, if anything, full of divorces, hardly getting married, almost a zero population, and it's less than even. They have less than two children for Jewish women. You put together the intermarriage, it's down birth control. So among the non-Jewish Jews, I think they only produce on an average today 1.1 children. The religious Jews on the average are producing 4.6 or so children per family. So huge, huge growth. The Hasidim are about 8 children a family on an average. The modern Orthodox are about 3. And the Yeshivish are about 5. So anyway, you put it all together, you get about 4.5. So, but the not-religious Jews, they're like 1.1. So even if they would stay Jewish, in 50 years there wouldn't be anybody left, because 1.1, you started with a mother and a father, 2, produce only 1, so population automatically goes down 50%. Only one child for every 2 parents. So it's a big problem. Teretz is, God's not investing in them. He's not investing that we should have a lot of Jewish children, because these people don't want to be Jewish anyway. They're not looking to stay Jewish. They're only Jewish because they're born Jewish. But they're interested not in Israel, not in anything. They want to be mamish be goyim. They want to marry the non-Jewish women or non-Jewish men. So God says, why should I invest, give them a lot of Jewish children? So they'll have only one child, so they'll disappear earlier. Though I don't have to invest in them. It's very strange. We're living in a very strange time. A very strange time. So he says, we see a vote in this week's parasha. We see the same idea in this week's parasha. The Torah says that divine evidently, 6 years he shall work, and the 7th year he should go 3. He goes 3. So what's the idea? Then, if he says, I like the slave girl that was given to me to make children, so he doesn't go free. It's a funny scenario. So he says that the chat is like this. Who is this Eved Ivri? This Eved Ivri is the lowest, let's call it scum or scoundrel in the Jewish society. The Gemara has 2 ideas who he is. He might be a ganav. He might be a thief. But not only did he steal, he doesn't have anything to pay back. He stole $1 million, and he took the $1 million and lost it in Las Vegas. Now they catch him. Where's the $1 million? I'm sorry, I spent it in Las Vegas. Can't do anything to return. You have to sell him. He has to pay back. You get away, you're a thief, scoundrel, plus... someone who profligate, who completely wasted the money he stole, become an Eved Ivri, work it off. So you make, that's one Eved Ivri. The other Eved Ivri is Bechlal. He's a fellow who doesn't want to work. He doesn't want to take chreis, the menial jobs, and work for himself. He'd rather have a master, because the master gives him a place to sleep and some food. So he gives up his freedom, says, 6 years I'll work for you. You tell me whatever you want to do. I just want to have a bed, some food. So he doesn't, instead of relying on Hashem and being an independent person and trying his best, go to college, take courses, take chreis for us, vocational training, go to graduate school, become a lawyer, doctor, like all Jewish people, work hard, become an independent self-provider. No, he's lazy. He doesn't want to go take the LSATs and LCATs and MCATs and MSATs and study and do a lot of work and worry about getting an A or a B. He may not be accepted to this grad medical school. He has to maybe go to Texas instead of staying in New York. So he has to go through a lot of things, a lot of work to stay independent. Nah, life is easy. I make myself a slave. I'll sell myself to someone. Let him worry about it. Let him go out into the world and have a business or be a doctor lawyer, programmer. I'm just a stupid person. I don't want to work so hard. I don't want to worry about becoming independent. Let someone take care of me. I'll become an eved to an eved. I'll buy my own. I'll get a master. Instead of saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu made me a Yitzir Kapov of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm supposed to have only one melech. The melech Malchem Lochem is my melech. Melech HaOlam. He's the only one I should answer to. Instead of that, Kona Odom La'atzmo. I take a human being and make me my melech. Why? Because I don't want to rely on Hashem. Instead of saying, I'll have only Hashem as my melech, and I'm going to work, and Hashem will help me, and me and Hashem will figure it out what to do the right thing, how to build my own family, and my own life, and my own panasa, and my own Torah, and my own mitzvahs. Says, no, I don't trust Hashem. I don't trust myself, and I don't trust Hashem. I only trust other people. I want to find a very rich man. I'm going to go to Donald Trump. Donald Trump, you buy me. I'm going to be your slave for 6 years. Whatever you want, I'll do it. Why? Because Donald Trump will already drive me around in the car, and I'll have a place to sleep. I can sleep in a hotel. So, he has a lot of hotels. So, I won't have to work. I won't have to be responsible. I won't have to rely on the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have another person who will be my master. That, the Gemara says, is one of the worst crimes in the world. One of the worst crimes in the world. Such a low life. He doesn't want to be his own independent human being. He wants to be completely dependent on another person. He wants to have another melech instead of the melech Malchem Lochem. He's a Jew. A Jew is supposed to have only one king, God Almighty himself. His person wants to have another person to be his king, to provide for him, to take care of his everyday needs, and he shouldn't have to take care of himself with Hashem's help. What a terrible attitude towards life. So, question is, we're talking about two different, very, very people who are really, unfortunately, messed up. The Ganav also doesn't rely on Hashem. He has to steal. Hashem, he doesn't think, can take care of him if he doesn't steal. Whatever he thinks he can make when he steals, if he would daven and do other mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give him on a silver platter. No, he has to go steal. He doesn't rely on Hashem. Hashem won't give it to him legally. He has to go do something illegal. Lacks betochen b'Hashem. And the fellow who's a mercha atzmo, he sold himself, is also someone who lacks betochen b'Hashem. Two very, very extremes, people who don't trust Hashem. Basically, the world has six sides. Right, left, front, back, up, down. We live in a six-sided dimension. Three directions. For each direction is a front and a back. So basically we live in a six-directional world. So these two people have corrupted all six sides. All six sides is terrible. However, one, a human being, especially Jewish, has a neshama tahora shenasatibi. The nekuda pnimis, the inner point, is tahor. No matter what happens on the chitzonis, on the six outer sides, but the inner side is pure. Mamela, sheishanim yavod. He has to work for 6 years. This person corrupted every side of his personality, is in total breakdown. However, Vashviyas, seventh year, Yetzir Lechavshi, he goes free. Why does he go free? Because that seventh point, the deep inner point of the six sides around him on the outside, and up and down, front, back, right, left, but the deep inner point is not corrupted. A human being can corrupt all his outside, but not his deepest inside. His deepest inside is always going to remain pure. So he goes out in the seventh year, because we say there's something good in there to salvage. Kadosh Baruch is ready to invest. I will invest in a person who's corrupted in all six ways, because I know that in the deepest, innest point, it's good. It's a good investment. So I go, I say, I buy a house. The house is a shambles. I have a dream. I know, though, that the foundation is good. I know the location is good. So I'll fix up the walls. I'll fix the floors.
but I have a good foundation, a good location. It's a good investment. Same thing. If a person has a good nekuda pnimis, a good nekuda shvius, his seventh and deepest point is good, invest in him. Invest in him. Don't be impatient. Have patience. He'll work out. It might take 6 years. The seventh, the eighth, elachayus. He'll become a tzaddik. This is only if he wants to. But if he says, lo eitzei, or hafti as adoni, as ishti, as banai, lo eitzei, l'chavshi, l'chayus. I don't want to go out. I like being a slave. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, v'avada la'olam, let him stay there forever. There's nothing to invest in over here. Because if he doesn't want to even dream of becoming better, who wants to help him? If he has a dream, I want to get out, I would like to get out, but I'm stuck for 6 years. Okay, so by the seventh year, we take him out. We invest in him. But if he says, lo eitzei, chavshi, I don't want to go out, I have to zadoni, zishti, bezbonai, say, let him stay there. There's nothing to invest in. It's a waste of time and effort. He's a loser. He wants to be a loser forever. Let him be a loser. Because Baruch Hu says, v'avada la'olam, let him stay there forever. It's not a blank check. Because Baruch Hu gives us a big investment, a big line of credit. If he knows we want to pay back one day, we want to pay back. But a loser, he just wants credit. He'll never pay back. He's not interested. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give him the credit. Let him stay where he is. No new house. No new car. Let him stay where he is. Let him be an Eved Olam for Donald Trump. This whole life will work for Donald Trump. He won't ever work for himself. He's a loser. That's what the Torah says. So this is what the Shem Shmuel explains. So that's why in Mitzrayim, 80% were losers. 80% said, I'd rather be Egyptian than Jewish. I don't care if the Jews go out. I want to stay in Egypt. I like being Egyptian. So stay in Egypt. We don't need you. Stay in Egypt. Die in Egypt. We're marching to Sinai, and you can sit in Egypt. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu tells them. We don't need you. You're a loser. We only want winners. People who will work and in the future will become something. Because they want to have an akuda pnimis, to have an inner point which wants to break out of the destruction that it's found in. It wants to have a better life. So God will say, I'll help you get there. Someone has no dream, no hope, helpless, hopeless, miyush. You say, yish kani, you're finished, you're gone. We have nothing to help you. You're finished. You have to have at least a hope, a dream. If you don't have a hope and a dream, then you're gone. You're a loser. Stay in Mitzrayim. Stay in Eved Olam. We are a slave forever. You don't deserve to be part of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael never loses the dream. Am Yisrael knows that the future will be better. We are ready to invest for the brighter future. But someone who has no dream of a future, he wants to make Israel a country of Goyim. So let him be a Goy. We don't need him in Am Yisrael. That's what the Shem Shmuel says. So Mamela. Now we have another question. The question is, how can a person develop within himself the dream of a bright future? And because he has a dream of a bright future, Hashem will help him through the dark and dreary present. Because God will invest in him to get him to the future. But someone who has no dream of a future, he wants to be and is a slave, is v'avada la'olam, let him stay there forever. If a person says, I have this ishti v'zbanai la'etzei chavshi, He has no dream. Let him stay there. We don't need him. He's a loser. So the question is, how do we guarantee that we will be winners, not losers? How do we know that we will be winners? We will have the dream to leave Egypt, to leave Avdus. Well, how do we know this? What's the guarantee? How can a person avoid, Rahman al-Slan, becoming a loser? He has to keep a winning attitude, even if things are going bad, but he knows that in the future it'll be better. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him through the dreary present to get to the bright future. God invests in him. But we need a way of keeping the dream alive. The dream shouldn't be killed in the terrible present. How do I keep the dream alive?
So he says,
who was the great model of someone who lived in the terrible present and had an incredible dream of a future, and God invested in him and saved him from the present and brought him to the bright future? Who is this person?
Yaakov Avinu.
How?
Esau was chasing after him. He had nothing. And he made a neder to Hashem. And he went
on. Oh, Yaakov, right? Correct. He made the neder to Hashem. Very good, Yaakov. And Yosef. Yosef is the model. Yosef was in Egypt. He was a slave. He damned for eternity to be a slave in the dungeons of Egypt. And Yosef never gave up the dream. One day I'll be free. One day I'm going to get out. God's going to help me. He never gave up the dream, no matter what happened. And that's why God did invest in him and did take him out, because he knew that this person was a winner. Deserved it. He deserved the investment, because he never gave up the hope that one day he would get out of the dungeon. And therefore God says, I'll get him out of the dungeon. Took 12 long years, but he got out. And other people died in the dungeon because they had no dream. They didn't trust that there'd be a brighter future. That was Yosef. And what was Yosef? Yosef was loyal. Yosef was loyal to his morality, that he came to Egypt as a moral person brought up in the house of Yaakov, and he refused to give in. Even if they put him in the dungeon, he refused to give in. He would remain moral no matter what. And someone who sticks to his moral principles, even if life is bitter, he will live to see the bright and day of freedom. He will go out in the seventh year. He will serve for six and go out in the seventh, because his inner core, his seventh point, is pure. Even if six sides are corrupt, but there's an inner core which is good. There was Yosef. Yosef would not give up the moral code. So therefore, if we are living in an unfortunate environment, we don't give in. As I said this morning, we are an Am Kshe Oref. God chose Jewish people because Jewish people are the most stubborn people on the face of the earth. And being stubborn is a great Jewish character. It's not so good when you have to deal with a Jew who is stubborn and doing something you don't like. That's for sure. But he's good for Hashem, because he made the commitment and he's stubborn and he will never give in. Even if they put him in 12 dungeons like Yosef for 12 years, he will not give in. So we went through a Holocaust, and 6 million Jews were slaughtered, 2 million babies, and the Jews that came out did not give in. So we're still Jewish. We're still keeping the Torah. We're still keeping Shabbos. We're still eating kosher. And we're sending our children to the yeshiva. Because we're an Amkshe Oref. We have a dream. And the dream will not be changed no matter how terrible the environment and the world we live in. That's why the Jews in Israel, as the rockets were falling in the summer in the north, no one left the country. No one said, I'll get on a plane. Everybody just moved from the north to the south or to the center. They did not leave. Amkshe Oref. Stubborn. That's why it says, the Hekdimu Nase Lenishma. They said Nase before Nishma. We're going to do it. It may not make any sense today, but I have a dream for the future. Nase. I do it today. Because of Nishma, we will hear something in the future. In the future, there'll be the payoff. God will invest in us today for a future payoff. We get credit. Hashem has patience. He says, wait, one day you'll see the payoff. He invests in us, and we invest in Him. We're ready to wait. We're an Amkshe Oref. We're stubborn. And that's why we live to go out free. Shvius, Yetzer Lechavshi. Shabbos, seventh year, we go free. So this is it. So now we understand the idea of giving the Machzis HaShekel. Of giving. Usually it turns out the same parasha of Mishpatim with the Eved Ivri and the Nasa of Anishma. The dream and the stubbornness to live to see the fulfillment of the dream. This is parasha of Shkolim, the mitzvah that every Jew should give a coin for the sacrifices, for the year sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash. And the collection of these coins is now in the month of Adar, before the month of Nisan. Because the idea of the coins, he says, is to join with other Jews together in a national effort, in a national project. This is an atonement for the sale of Yosef, it says in the Medrash. Because the coin which every Jew gives is the exact value which each of the 10 brothers received when they sold Joseph. They sold Joseph for 20 kesef, and it works out, according to the calculations, that that's a machzis hashekel for each brother. For each brother who sold Joseph got this little coin. And now every Jew takes this little coin and gives it to the national treasury for the temple. And says, we are united. We're not the way we were at the beginning, split and self-destructive and guilty of fratricide, killing and selling a brother. No, we are united. And if all the Jews are united, they were able to keep the moral code. Yosef kept the moral code as an individual. Today it's very difficult for an individual to keep the moral code, to be what we call in the Hebrew, Shomer HaBris, to keep the bris. Yachid, it's very difficult. You have to live in a Jewish community. You have to be together with other Jews and give one another strength. Ish es re'ei omer chazak. Each Jew tells a friend, be strong. We are together. And then we can keep our morality. But if a person's going to be by himself, how's he going to keep his Jewish morality in an immoral world? If he lives in a Jewish community, he can do it. Lives in New Square, Borough Park, the New Washington Heights. I saw in the paper the yeshiva just bought 10 buildings, 11 buildings. So there's a plan to change Washington Heights into a big Jewish neighborhood. 11 new buildings belong to Yeshiva University. Hopefully they'll fill it up with good Jewish families. You stay in a Jewish community, you give them another strength. You join together with Machzis HaShekel, then you can keep the level of Yosef. Yosef was unique, that on his own, he could be Shomer HaBris. But the average person doesn't have the level of Yosef. The average person needs other Jewish people together have the strength to keep the moral code. So, this is the idea of the Machzis HaShekel. And Mamela says that this gives us the dream. So what's the guarantee of the dream? How can the person keep the dream alive if he's united with other Jews? Then they can keep it alive. But if they go, each one goes his own private way, the dream will be extinguished. Then he's going to say, I want to stay in Egypt. Why do I have to leave? I'd rather be an Egyptian. Then he'll say, why do I have to leave servitude? I'll stay with my master forever. And unfortunately, God will say, stay there. We don't need you. You lost the dream. You lost being a stubborn, old-fashioned Jew. You will drop out. Like the 80% dropped out in Egypt and never left. Like the slave who says, after 6 years, I'm going to stay forever, and he does stay forever because he blew the opportunity to get out. Rabotai is a very, very strong challenge to us. We want to be able to survive through the difficult times we're in and see the fulfillment of the dream of Bashvius Yetzei L'Cheirus, the seventh year goal of free. We don't want masters. We want to have only one master, God the Almighty, and no one else. We have to keep the dream alive. And the way to keep the dream alive is by uniting with other Jews to fix the sin of the sale of Yosef. To work together with other Jews like Machzis HaShekel. Maybe myself, I'm too weak. Maybe myself, I might give up the boat. But if other Jews are with me, we're going to keep the boat afloat. We're going to keep it going. That's why very important to get involved in helping other Jews, staying with other Jews, whether it's poor Jews, orphans, widows, Jews in Israel. Helping one another keeps the dream alive, lets us stay stubborn. Lets us be like Yosef, who was able to do it by himself. And he lived to see the day of freedom. So too with us. We'll live to see the day of freedom as long as we keep the dream alive. So we hope, Rabotai, that as we go into the Pascha Shabbos of Mishpatim and Shkalim, which is basically the idea of Jewish freedom, of going free, of with God's help achieving our dreams, as long as the dream is alive. Then we will get it. It's like the slave leaves after the 6 years, like the Jews leave Egypt and go to Sinai, like Yosef was freed And the key is the shkalim. The key is to help other Jews, to join with other Jews. And that does, and the shekel also is very interesting. It's a very small coin. No one's being asked here to give $1 million. Give $1. Half a dollar. With 5 million other people, or 10 million, or 100 million, who everyone gives a dollar. Then you keep the dream alive. Then we're together. So Botai, as various different causes come to our door, knock on our door, we're blessed. Hashem gives us a lot of credit. God's giving us a lot of opportunity, because we are fortunately the richest Jewish population on the planet Earth, American Jewry. The American Jewry has the privilege of being able to contribute to other Jews, of creating the unity of the Jewish people and keeping alive the moral code and the stubborn will to live and exist of the Jewish people, together with God's help. So, thank God we're in America. Thank God you're in Yeshiva University, which gives you Torah and professional education. You're able to make your contribution to the Jewish people in your own special way. And it's a shame. This way, we keep alive the dream of Am Yisrael to go out v'cheves olam. For eternal freedom in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, in the Gula Shalema, in the great redemption, the Mehei of Yemenu. Amen.
Amen. Shekaya. Is this going on the internet?
You can put it up.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Right. What about those Jews in Israel, right? Who was living in the land that we give away? Right? Is the Jews that don't want to keep the mitzvahs? It's Dafkas, the Jews that are trying the hardest and they're the most stubborn and they wouldn't give up on the land and they want to keep the mitzvahs and they want to stay there. Those are the ones who live in those far reach places that that they try to give back. Why the...
No, because they're the ones who are trying to keep it. But the others don't want to be Jewish at all. So the others are in the same place. So the others have more koach, spiritual, than these.
So we give away the the land of the Jews that are trying and they're bringing the blessing.
Right.
It's also a paradox.
It's a very, very big paradox. It's a very bit of phenomenon, but that's what it is. Africa. It's to show that
those two sets of Jews are still responsible for one another.
It's to show that all the Jews in Israel are really, in a certain sense, one, and one group has more spiritual energy in the negative than the other one on the positive. The negative side can overwhelm the positive side. Happened by Churban Beis Hamikdash. There were a lot of good tzaddikim, but the negative side was stronger. There's no rule in Judaism that the positive side is always going to be stronger than the negative. The negative can be over. See, in Egypt they split. The 80% stayed and 20% left. And maybe that'll happen one day in Israel too. Maybe 80% will leave and 20% will stay. You don't know. But right now, everybody's staying. Within this place where everybody's staying, question is, how much land do you keep? So it seems that the negative side has the power, at least at the edges of the country, more than just the edges, but the edges which are creeping towards the center, they have the power to get rid of it.
So even those Jews that we feel like God has given up on them and said you can join the people you feel like you that you imitate if you give up on your Judaism. The Jews who are keeping the mitzvos and the Jews who are keeping the dream, they can't give up on those Jews. They can't give up on those Jews that give up on themselves, and they have to try and help pull them out of the slavery.
Right.
They have to give them back the hope. They have to instill in them the dream so that they can bring the positive energy back to the
right,
to group.
Right,
yeah. They have to use the resources of the Jewish community, the shkalim that they all donate to the cause, to bring up the level of those Jews also.
Exactly. With you.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make it harder to maintain the stubbornness? Because if you go out in order to help, and you live, let's say, among those who have lost the dream, right? And who he's given up on, then I thought when we said the way is to live in a Jewish community to maintain the dream was because when you surround yourself with people who are like you and also have the dream, you each build up each other. But when you leave the bubble, so to speak, so then you endanger yourself to the outside influences. So then if you go out, let's say, in order to help all those who've already lost it, then isn't that a big risk?
Yeah. This is the machlokas between the Bavrich and Satma. Bavrich says go out, and Satma says to stay in.
Why you were, as we say, it's caught in the middle, eh?
Why is in the middle? A little bit like the Babish, a little bit like Satan. A little bit you go out, a little bit you stay in the bubble.
Skaya.